At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
.100% Hockey with Darren Millard and John Shannon. We've been waiting for this. Like, we've been ready for a while. The world wasn't. And now everything has come together. I'm looking forward to this, buddy.
Well, that's why it starting in 2025 made sense. You know, just start a new year and a new time and a new show. I mean, there was some logic to it. None of us liked the logic, but there was logic to it. So, and by the way, there is nothing. You know, we may have made a mistake because there's absolutely nothing going on in the game of hockey right now.
No, the two teams filled with the most drama have turned around. They love 2025, so that's pushed aside with the New York Rangers and the Vancouver Canucks.
I'm not sure that people in Vancouver would agree with you after last night, even though they wanted a shootout. I'm not sure they would agree with you.
Winning doesn't concern or ease all concerns in Toronto because there's still something to worry about there.
Yeah.
To start 2025.
Well, the injury, you know, the injury bug's starting to bite people again, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and we talked about what was Vancouver was all about. You know, they no Quinn Hughes right now, no Pettersson right now. And halfway through the game, Thatcher Demko goes down again. And so that becomes a big challenge for them once again. Although I will say that Kevin Lankinen has done his job and more so than anybody else in the National Hockey League after signing such a late contract to join the Canucks.
It's funny you bring that up because Toronto people think that they're the only team that has any injury at all with Austin Matthews. We'll get into that. Plus, the great chase closes the gap. What a story that is coming off the broken leg.
Yes, it truly is. It's an amazing story now in so many ways. First of all, that, you know, he's been so prolific, but to miss 16 games and then be able to do what he's done since his return, and the Caps haven't missed a beat, have they? The Caps are still one of the best stories in the game, and to start the countdown in 2025 to 8.95 is going to be fascinating.
Should we get our minds around the elephant in the room? Like, should we acknowledge that?
What are you talking about, how much weight I put on during Christmas?
Well, I didn't want to bring it up, but I feel like we should acknowledge it.
How much weight I put on?
Yeah.
I just
haven't. We need to sit down.
I have a good time at Christmas. You know?
No, the big story.
I have a good time at Christmas. And Ozempic isn't our sponsor yet. So
bring it on. Let's go. The World Junior Hockey Championship semifinalists have been determined. The USA is through. Team Canada is not. How is the nation dealing with that today?
I think there's still a little bit of numbness this morning. When you think about what happened in the game against Czechia, the 5-minute major in the first period that they actually scored a shorthanded goal on, you know, erasing the 2-goal deficit in the third period. And then to take another penalty late in the game and be beaten on the power play by a Czech team that was very aggressive all night long. And I don't mean physically. I mean, they were always on the forecheck. They were always working hard. But you know as well as I do in our country, Darren, this will now gain momentum, and there'll be an amount of analysis over the next 4 or 5 days before the tournament ends of what's wrong with hockey in Canada. And dare we remind people that our two best under 20 players are playing in the National Hockey League, and Connor Bedard and Macklin Celebrini, but that the selection process for this club was controversial at the time before Christmas. So there, and then the team played immaturely at times, too many penalties. And if you're going to take penalties, you better kill them. And they couldn't do that. So unfortunately, Dave Cameron's going to take a ton of heat for what went on. And I'm not sure that that's fair, but he will be the brunt of a lot of people's angst over the next few days.
Your rationale is all very valid. Where I look at the shortcoming is simply the penalties added up. And I don't think they properly dealt with it in the early part of the tournament to send a message. There was the explanation of they got to be better. It's on them. They know how to play the game. They know how to walk the line, but there was never any consequence to it. And by that, it never got in front of the lack of discipline. And thus it continued through to their very last shift.
I don't know how you manage 17-year-old boys though.
Ice time. It's the same as you manage 35-year-old people.
Or 65-year-old people.
Right. I'm benching you. Yeah, I'm benching you at our men's league later on today.
So yeah, that would go over well, wouldn't it? It stick throwing. I understand what you're saying, but you know what happened, what appeared to happen at times was that the moment the player got on the ice, he wasn't back on the bench quick enough. You know, the shifts got too long. Everybody tried to be the hero. That's a learning curve. Yeah. Oh, no. That's a natural occurrence when it comes to star players trying to work together for the first time, and then not knowing how to act as a team. There's lots of ways to look at it. I think it'll be disappointing. It's obviously disappointing for the people in Ottawa. You could see the. You could see how happy people were when Canada scored last night, and when they made it 3-3, it was like a Stanley Cup final in that building. It was electric. So you knew how important it was to everyone in the building. But man, oh man, oh man, you know the penalty, the last penalty. I will tell you right now, the referees had called that penalty twice before in the game, twice before the exact same penalty. And some people will say it wasn't a penalty, but the referees had set the bar, and you can tell me that the officiating is inferior. I it doesn't matter. Once the referee set the bar, then you go with the flow and you understand what you can or can't do. And you have to do that. You have to be able to play within the structure of what the officials have set up for that game. So the 5-minute major to Canada, Czechia got a similar penalty in the second period as a 2-minute minor, and then a subsequent 2-minute minor with 2 minutes and 20 seconds to go in the game.
The smugness or the theatrical production by the Czechia player after the 5-minute major, I get people's angst with that. But if it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, it's a duck in the fact of Team Canada drawing a lot of penalties.
And what I would say to that is, yeah, Saturday or Sunday night is the Golden Globes, so maybe there's a chance that he could win something. But you know, video review and the time that the officials took to look at it and analyze it tells you that there was in the international game, different than junior hockey in North America. Different than the National Hockey League. In the international game, they view that type of hit as vicious. And so learn from it, live with it, deal with it. But that just didn't happen. And by the way, I, you know, the What did you think about using the coach's challenge for the goal review?
I thought it was like must do.
But the referees had already reviewed it once in the process of determining whether the puck crossed the line properly. And then Cameron challenged.
Because you're challenging a different part of
the goal. I understand that, but the referee did, after the first video review, did say no goal. So my inclination is to say, I'm not sure he's going to change his mind the second time around.
At that point of the game, you had to challenge it.
And risk taking and losing, yes. having a power play. Now the Czechs didn't score.
Well, Cameron might as well get in on taking the penalties. Everybody else was.
Yeah, that's a good point. Anyway, so the Americans, they look pretty good.
They do look good. Before we leave the Canadian side,
okay.
It's the first time since 79-80 that Canada doesn't go to the semifinals or is involved in medal contention. What's the next step for Hockey Canada? We've had summits. I'm just curious what you think this leads to.
It's a good question. I'm not sure it leads to anything because, there are so many layers to where hockey is in our country right now. When you consider what's happening between the NCAA and junior hockey and the fact that players are now going to be able to, I don't want to use the word portal, but can move back and forth between the two. There's the Four Nations face-off that's coming. I think there's enough stuff on the docket that will probably get rid of this numbness within 2 weeks. And so the answer is to the powers that be within Hockey Canada, does this change their process of how they select a team? I don't think it does. I mean, they haven't gone from being brilliant hockey evaluators in the last 10 years to being dogs in one tournament. They haven't.
It's two tournaments, last year and this year.
Well, what'd they do last year?
They didn't make the quarterfinal, or they didn't make the semifinals. They finished fifth.
Well, maybe they are. No, they're not. I still have. There's some people there that really, do have a finger on the pulse of what's going on in hockey. I think Scott Salmon is a really good evaluator. I think there are some people within the organization, but let's face it, Hockey Canada has gone through such crisis management in the last 3 or 4 years. Trying to right the ship, that you do wonder if the next time around what happens and how it works. I just don't think anything will change. This is just heat of the moment stuff, and people within the organization, people within junior hockey, they will try to figure out what went wrong and what went right, and perhaps the selection process needs to be examined. But at the same time, these kids are playing in a window outside of the regular junior hockey schedule that they play. So I don't know how it can change.
There's another tournament coming up in a month and a half that's going to be really important that could add more heat or alleviate the
Well, we know burner. They can't finish fifth.
Right. That's a good point. That's already optimistic. I love that. Yeah, Team USA has some swagger to it, though. They've been the best tournament throughout, best team in the tournament throughout, and they're showing no signs of letting off.
Agreed.
And their goaltender is hot, so that's fun.
Yeah, what's his mask like, though?
Mask is average, I think. Yeah. As somebody that enjoys a good mask, I thought the mask on that aspect was a little bit average. Let's take a break. When we continue, we'll get to the NHL side of things and what's happening in Vancouver and the New York Rangers and what the Winds do to alleviate the pressure on those two markets. It's 100% Hockey with Darren Millard and John Shannon. 2025 off to a great start.
Happy New Year! How long do you say Happy New Year?
I'm willing to go a week. If I haven't seen you, I'm willing to go a week.
So, like when you're doing your next Vegas Golden Knights game.
There's no happy new year.
What's that?
There's no happy new year.
You don't say. You've already said it once. Yeah. And life goes on. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe all the best in 2027 in case I don't see you. I'll throw something like that in.
2027.
Well, I might not see you. There's a chance we don't cross paths. Now, you and I are here. Should mention, we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Yeah.
Every week.
Yeah. And it won't be, you know, it won't just be us.
No.
There's going to be one day a week that it's just us, but the other couple of days, we're going to get people.
Was that part of the contract for you for it not to just be us?
I can't work that hard anymore. You know, the days of 5 days a week podcast. Oh my God.
I thought you didn't want to just be with me all three shows. That was part of the contract.
There might be a secondary reason. Yeah. And don't forget, we actually, you know, so good cross promotion. We actually do a little bit of radio in Vegas together on your show on Thursdays. So I have more fans in Vegas, I think, than I do than any other city now.
Yeah, you come across like a Vegas local on that show, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Is it Clark County and Macomb County? Is that what it is?
Macomb County, yeah.
Okay, yeah, just checking.
Clark is the biggest. That's where I live, out in Summerlin.
Oh, of course. You in Summerlin.
Vancouver, the New York Rangers. There's been enough to keep us busy for 2 years around those two teams, but both come out and produce significant wins to kick off the new year.
Yeah.
Which team needed it most out of those two?
Well, I would have said the Rangers. But I think that the Ranger story has been ongoing for so long. And it's really been, it's been a whole season in the works, even though they got off to a pretty darn good start, Darren. But this all started, and the downfall of the Rangers started with the Barkley Goodrow wavering and then the Jacob Trouba move. Yeah, they're trying to move him and then finally trading him.
They got back in the summer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So last summer. And then the soap opera around the Shesterkin contract. And then let's face it, there's a lot of guys on that team that have underachieved. There's a lot of guys that have not played very well. The guys that were expected to play very well. To me, Mika Zibanejad was at the top of the list. That has not had a good season. Keandre Miller was supposed to be an up-and-coming young defenseman. Has not had a good season. There's Artemi Panarin, injured a little bit. But, have we seen the Panarin magic? Have we seen the bread man at his best this year? I'm not sure we have. I think there's a ton of stories like that. I mean, when people are talking about Lafreniere and Cooley being the best players on the team, that's a problem.
And Lafreniere is falling off.
And he's kind of sputtered. The Tacko trade, to me, reeked of something. I wonder if they can even get themselves out of this funk. You know, Chris Kreider, I think Kreider's got, he's the Cy Young winner so far this year. I think he's 12-1, right? 12 goals and one assist. They're just things. They're things that are really they just seem to be festering now and don't seem to be improving. By the way, I think Kreider's 12-2 now, so he got his second loss last night. So
Lafreniere was thought to be a world or a Four Nations faceoff participant
halfway through this
season. Well, there's a lot of discussion about that.
I never thought that.
He's certainly not at the same level that he was at the start of the year. I wonder, all these performances that you're citing, are they a result of what's going on off the ice and this apparent disconnect between the front office and the team? Mm-hmm. Like, did everybody take their eye off the ball?
Wow. As much as it's easy to point fingers at Chris Drury, it really is easy to point fingers at Drury. And, I think the onus is still on the players. I think the players have to play. When they're sitting on the bench, I don't think they're sitting there saying, well, Chris Drury's screwing me. I don't think that. By the way, I also think that I have never been the greatest Peter Laviolette fan for multiple reasons. But I think Peter Laviolette's done a hell of a job this year. I think he's become a real buffer and tried to keep the ship afloat and is probably getting a little too much heat in the situation right now. Because, again, he didn't become a bad coach overnight. He still has a pretty good pedigree. And so from that perspective, Laviolette, with whatever issues that do exist on and off the ice, Peter has to, you know, manage through this minefield, and he's done pretty well.
Here's the half full side of it.
Well, I'm a
the
half
New York
full.
Rangers, the New York Rangers are the highest ranking team in New York State. All right. They're tied with the New York Islanders, and they're a couple of points ahead of the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, that's all you have to do is look across the Hudson and say, how come we can't beat the Devils?
Well, then there's that and that comparison. But
yeah,
the Rangers are only 5 points out of a playoff spot right now.
And I think that when you look at their talent, the question is, can they do something and get on a bit of a streak? And you know, last night was better, but it wasn't the greatest. But, you know, it was at least 2 points. It was at least 2 points. You know,
they win without Shesterkin, which is great.
Jonathan Quick is always, you know, Jonathan Quick, you know, has, do you know him at all? You must know him from his time in Vegas, right?
No, not well, though.
Okay. So I don't know him. I've only watched him from afar and know lots of people that have worked with him. And they always talk about how competitive he was. And you have to give him some credit, because he's as competitive as anybody, and he's done what he was supposed to do when he signed that contract in New York. When everybody, by the way, when everybody thought he was done, mm-hmm. when everybody thought he was finished. So for him to fight through this and do what he's doing, in many ways is pretty darn impressive.
How loud is the noise in Vancouver?
Well, first of all, there's always noise in Vancouver. Okay, so it's how you figure out where the noise is coming from. If it's the fan base, then you have to put it in perspective. If it's the front office, you have to think that there's something a little different. And if it's the players, then you know you got a real problem. So the players have tried to squelch all the issues. The issues have gone away a little bit with the Pettersson injury and with Quidiuz's absence. So people are focusing on, hey, can we just play a simple game and do the job? Rick Tocchet appears to have tried to address it. Patrick Alvin earlier this week in an article with Ian McIntyre was pretty straightforward with his philosophy of what's right and wrong with the club and what's right and wrong with Elias Pettersson.
I don't think that dampened out the flames.
No, here's the deal. Here's the question. Because actually, when we're talking about the Rangers versus talking about the Canucks, I think things festered in New York because Chris didn't address it quickly enough publicly. He just went about his job and thought that this was the way to manage it, and we'll do it internally, and you know, and that's not the case in Vancouver. I do think that there's a conscious decision from management, from Jim Rutherford and Patrick Galvin, to be front and center and say we are trying to fix this, because I think the fan base I think the people in Vancouver appreciate that, and I think that I honestly think the people in New York would appreciate it too if there was a little more transparency with what was going on. But let me ask you this, because you're around teams much more than I am these days. If you have a session, a scrum with a player, and he says, guys, it's not a problem. And they go to the other guy, and the guy says, guys, it's not a problem. You guys have invented this. At what point do we stop talking about it?
If you know there's a problem, then you keep talking about it.
But you have been around.
People have sources. People are aware of things. And
well, that might be a bigger that might be a bigger concern if I'm the Vancouver Canucks than anything else.
Yeah, maybe.
And, you know, and you know as well as I do, Rutherford doesn't like leaks. He went to the Lou Lamoriello school of leaking. You know, he doesn't like it. So,
but there's no secret that the two guys are different. And
but it's also no secret.
Brad Richardson was on a podcast and said he told JT that he was too hard on Pettersson.
And I could see JT Miller being too hard on lots of guys.
Yeah,
and I know you'd be shocked when I say that. I love that. I think that's fantastic. I love
when you're pushing people.
Yeah. Push them all the time.
If it's not working, you got to find a different tact. And I'm not saying that JT's wrong or right in this, but if I'm just going by the tea leaves that I'm reading, and you ask me at what point do you stop asking? Well, I think that until you get either a performance, a result, or an admission or acknowledgement of the situation. I love what Tocchet did, just saying, hey, you guys, I've answered this enough. You guys go talk to them.
Well, I think that there has been some wise strategy in Vancouver with trying to create the perception of transparency. Mm-hmm. Here's the other one, and I've never talked to anybody about this, and this has really put Quinn Hughes in a tough spot. I really do think it's because. You know, when I was a kid, if two guys were in the room bickering, there would be a captain that walked in and said, you and me, you know, we're going out and we're going to solve this problem. And I don't know.
What tough neighborhood that you lived in.
Oh, it was a tough neighborhood. Yeah. Mostly my own house. But what I would say is, can Quinn Hughes do that? Because Quinn Hughes is the captain. But is Quinn Hughes the captain because he's the best player? Or is Quinn Hughes the captain because he's the best leader?
Well, the alpha is JT.
Yeah, exactly. JT was the alpha dog when Bo Horvat was the captain. Hmm. So that becomes, to me, is this a players to solve issue? Is this a coaches to solve issue, or is this a management issue to solve? And I think all three, I think at this point, all three have tried.
But they're locked into both Pettersson and Miller. So the
idea. Well, Pettersson longer than Miller now, right?
Yeah. The idea that they're going anywhere, I think, is.
Oh, ludicrous.
Yeah.
You can't. You got to fix it. You got to go. But we've all been around teams that players didn't like each other. Mm-hmm. We've all been
or
around
worse.
And we've all been around dressing rooms where you'd walk over to a guy and say, so what about so-and-so? And he'd roll his eyes. That's life. If you could find a place where 23 grown men all like each other all the time, not possible. It is not possible. So there are times where the human aspect of this association is a factor, and there's an expectation that, well, they're teams. Yeah, but they're a team on the ice. That's where they need to be teammates.
What did you see in Demko last night?
Wow. I watched the replays of when he left the game. And you can only feel for what Thatcher's going through again. The popliteitis, I think that's what it's described as. That was the original injury from last summer that kept him out for the longest period of time during the regular season.
A ligament in the knee, or
a ligament in the knee area, yeah, in the back of the knee, actually.
Back of the knee, yeah. Well, back of the kneecap, yeah.
Correct.
Weird.
You know, you're just going, oh my goodness gracious, can this happen again? You know, and they were very cautious with him, right? They didn't throw him in early in the season. They let him do it on his schedule, as I understand it. And then you can't help but feel for him, for what's gone on. And then you have to wonder what kind of emotional aspect that will have, how that will affect the hockey club as well.
You know, where he is in his contract, I think there's one more year after this one. I would be inclined to shut myself down for the year and come back next fall. Knowing that you have to show that you're healthy, you have to show that you can perform, all of that going in. Kevin Lankinen's very, very good and is one of the greatest signings in training camp history. That was that late in the season, so kudos to Vancouver management for that. But you're not leaving the team totally in the lurch. Demko's got to look after himself right now and his future to get right.
Realistically, after the game, Rick Tocchet did say it was back spasms.
Okay.
So I don't know.
If it was nothing to do with the knee, okay, that's fine.
Yeah. So then that part but you still have to be worried. You still have to be concerned about him. Is this going to happen all the time? When we look at the legacy of Thatcher Demko 20 years from now, great goaltender, always hurt.
Yeah. Just can't stay healthy.
Can't stay healthy. No.
Let's take a break. When we continue, the Toronto side of things and the great chase. And can I talk about the Vegas Golden Knights?
I was going to ask you. Because I can ask you. This is you're the host and I'm the guy.
No, but you, I like asking I can be questions. The guy. You can flip it anytime you want. We'll be back with 100% hockey with.
Well, why are you throwing it to commercial then?
Because I took the ball. I'm the alpha.
Okay. All right, JT.
We'll be right back. Are you okay now?
Yeah, I feel better. Yeah.
Yeah. You're over your little.
My snit. You have worked over
like
the
snits.
Years with guys that have great snits.
Yeah, I'm a good snitter.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You can have snits too. I know when you're snitting.
I can bring the snits. Yeah, there's no reading into it.
No. It's when you lean back and fold your arms, goodness gracious, we're done.
There you go.
Okay, boys, you have to fill yourselves.
Have some fun with that. You want to interrupt? Let's go. By the way, we're going to have our buddies on throughout the 100%.
I wasn't
hockey.
Talking about anybody specific.
I was. they'll be along. We'll have lots of laughs. So what's going on with Austin Matthews? Looks like there's some progress here with the upper body injury.
It's the back. Don't do the upper body injury. It's the back.
I like upper body.
You know, I see the graphics on TV. UBI.
Yes.
What is UBI? Come on. LBI and UBI.
You know what we call
Austin
it now?
Austin Matthews
we call
has
it
a
UB.
Back problem. Austin Matthews has a back problem. Okay? He's got a back problem.
All right. So he's practiced a couple of times.
Yeah.
He's trending towards playing this weekend.
Yep.
Is he back? Pun intended. Or is there going to be concern until we're done? Like the Thatcher Demko, is he in that situation of having to, this season, and I'm not talking about career-wise, but this season, is he going to have to play 8 weeks in a row or get through the end of the year before we're ready to go? Okay, Austin Matthews is normal again.
Here's the thing. This is my opinion. This is not something from the inside of the organization, or it doesn't matter what the regular season. Austin Matthews has to be healthy enough to play in the playoffs. Austin Matthews has to contribute to this hockey club to get beyond the first round of the playoffs. I don't care about 70 goals or 30 goals or 40 or 69 goals. I don't care. I want Austin Matthews. If you're a Maple Leaf, you have to say, okay, what are we doing in the 15th of April? And is Austin Matthews in our lineup? That's the bottom line in Toronto. That is the important thing for everybody in this city and in the organization. And I do think the organization understands that, which is why they've been very patient with him. You know, is there any doubt in your mind that Maple Leafs will make the playoffs?
They're in first place.
Okay. I agree. So let's play it out. Get him as healthy as he can be this year, because he's even admitted there's a good chance he will never be 100% this year. And then see what he does in the playoffs. Listen, I don't know if you remember. You were too young to remember. The early 90s, Mario Lemieux had the world's worst back. Okay? This is long before the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. But Mario's back. I remember doing a Stanley Cup final game in Minnesota where Mario could not bend over and tie his skates. He was so bad. He missed one game in that final. But they still won the championship because he came back and played well.
And one of the greatest goals we've ever seen.
And one of the greatest goals. That was before the back issue really reared its ugly head that series. But, you know, for that period of time in the late 80s, early 90s, Mario's back was just awful. But he was ready to play at the key times. He was ready to play when the Penguins needed him in the playoffs. That's all I'm asking for Austin Matthews, is be ready when this team really needs you. You know, they play Boston on Saturday night. Do they really need Austin Matthews? Really? And the answer is they don't really need him right now. As you said, they're first in the division. They're one of the top six teams in the league. They really need Austin Matthews in April. So I don't care what happens now. But he has to be ready for the postseason. The bigger question for me on Matthews is what happens with the Four Nations face-off with him. Between Judd Moldaver, his agent, and Austin and Brad Treliving, there has to be a discussion about, is it in Austin's and the Maple Leafs' best interest for him to play in Montreal and Boston? Is it?
No.
Right.
And he's going to play on the Olympic team if he's healthy. So he doesn't have to prove anything at the Four Nations face-off. I think it's obvious that Austin Matthews takes a pass in the Four Nations face-off to make sure that he's healthy for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Very obvious. Very obvious. That to me is, in fact, you do wonder if the guys at USA Hockey and Billy Guerin and Kelleher and those guys are looking at this situation to say, okay, we should probably think about making a phone call to somebody now to say, just in case Austin drops out, you know, you're our first alternate. You know,
John, because if that conversation or call hasn't taken place already, then the name's been determined.
Agreed. Yeah, you're probably right.
They had their short list when they finalized the roster.
I think Billy Guerin said he called seven players who in the end were the guys on the bubble. And so whether that's guys say, no, I don't want to play, or I'm sure everybody wants to play. So you might be having the same conversation for the Americans with Quinn Hughes too. Hmm. You know, what's going on with Quinn?
If it was the Olympics, John, it's a different story. I'm waiting till the final hour before I make a decision.
Do you remember,
no disrespect to the Four Nations face-off, I don't know whether there's a trophy. I heard there was going to be a trophy.
There's no
I'm
trophy.
Not sure
there's
that's
no
going
trophy.
To happen
there's no
or
trophy.
Not. I don't know what we're playing for. It's pride. It's beautiful that we put so much into playing for pride. I think it's unique, but it's not. It's a first time event. It's
right.
It's an invented event. Why would Austin Matthews put himself in peril for that?
By the way, your note about waiting until the last moment. It happened in the first time the pros went to the Olympics in Nagano in 1998. I don't know if you remember, but the week before the tournament started, Paul Kariya got concussed.
That's
and of course,
right.
Of course, Paul Kariya playing in Japan was, I think, was a bigger story than Wayne Gretzky playing in the tournament at that point in Japan.
In Japan, yeah.
You know, I mean, the scene of him coming off the train in Nagano with all the media following him. And Mark Recchi replaced him. And I think Mark didn't know until about 3 or 4 days before the tournament started. And that was not a necessarily easy place to get to. It wasn't as if there was a giant airport in Nagano for you to to land the plane at, you know, so you had to go to Tokyo and then take the train. Anyway, so that's just an aside.
That is a good aside, though. I like that. As we get back on track with the Vegas Golden Knights, the best team in the National Hockey League, points percentage, just outside of top spot.
But we don't do points percentage in this league. We don't do points percentage in this league. We do points. We do victories.
I was gonna say I agree with
you. No, you're sounding like a guy from Vegas.
I agree with you on the points thing, but the accuracy of the best points percentage record.
Okay, so why are they so good? Why are they so good?
They get performances out of everybody. Yeah. Pavel Dorofeev scored his 14th goal last night. He's one off the team lead behind Ivan Barbashev and Brett Howden.
Now Barbashev's on the IR.
Barbashev is, yes, he's not playing right now, and he did not skate yesterday. Nick Waugh did skate yesterday, so there's the injury update on the Vegas Golden Knights.
But you got to get a sponsor for that too. That's good.
Did you have Howden, Barbashev, and Dorofeev leading this team in goal production and still being a first place team with a comfortable lead, 6-point lead for first place in the Pacific Division? It's that balanced. And Jack Eichel's having a career year. Mark Stone's having a career year. There's a handful of guys. Aiden Hill's having a career year. Everything has gone really well. The old guard, the guys that have filled in from the players that moved on have been fantastic. And then the players they brought in, Tanner Pearson and Victor Olofsson, have been fantastic. They've hit on pretty much everything.
And what's in the water that makes these guys, what turns these guys around? Is this a culture thing? Is there a culture in Vegas?
Absolutely.
But where's
Jack Eichel?
Where does the culture come from?
It was built in year number one, and it comes from Kelly McCrimmon and George McPhee, and it started with the players in that room under the guidance of Gerard Glant in year number one, and it's played its way through, and there is a welcoming of players that come in from the outside, and they know what's expected of them. Jack Eichel saw it when he arrived from Buffalo, and he molded his game to fit his teammates and the culture in the room. Yeah. And certainly, you know, Victor Olofsson has come in and it's been great coming in from Buffalo.
And by the way, Victor Olofsson can still shoot the puck.
Yeah, I
mean, that was, which was always his greatest strength in Buffalo, was he can shoot the puck.
And they're getting great production from their blue line. They have three players on that back end who are going to the Four Nations faceoff. And the guy that's having the best year is Braden McNabb, who's plus 23. He doesn't produce offensively, but he's having an amazing year. And Whitecloud and Hag are great. And Ilya Samsonov has come in and complimented Aiden Hill. Like they haven't missed.
And Bruce
Cassidy.
I'm glad you used his real name rather than what everybody else calls him.
Butch.
I hate nicknames. So I just hate nicknames.
Why?
Oh, because we're talking to people in the third person. We're talking to an audience. Some of them may not know the nicknames, and then you're making it sound like you use the name Butch, that you and Butch are buddies. Hey, Butch. Hey, Butch here. Hey, Gratz. Oh, stop. Just stop. You know?
You should know I call Wayne when I see him, Wayne, and I refer to Bruce as Bruce. That may Good. Surprise you, knowing how much I love my nicknames.
I know. I never had a nickname until I worked with you bozos.
No. People called you JS.
Those are my initials. Those are my initials.
But it's still a nickname.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, and Shanny. Hey, Shanny. So you know what I get now is when I'm in and around the president of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Jonathan?
No, I get, you're not Shanny, I'm Shanny. That's what
Does
Brendan
says. Does he say
says.
That to you?
Yeah, he says, every time I say somebody says, hey, Shanny, I think they're talking to me. You're not Shanny. Okay, Brendan, I get it. All right, I get it. I don't want to be Shanny.
So he's marking his territory on his Shanny nickname?
Yeah. I told him we'd have to go to the Blue Goose and Mimico and have some beers to explain it, you know?
Hey, Vegas has only gone two games without a point twice all year. Remarkably consistent. Longest winning streak, 6 games. But they have just gone along, and they don't let one win turn into four. or sorry, yeah. one loss turn into four.
Well, and I'll be honest, my favorite player in the National Hockey League plays in Vegas. So,
who's that?
Alex Pietrangelo. That's my favorite player.
Most fascinating guy in the league.
I'll tell you what. We did it on the old show. We did an interview with Alex. And, you know, every once in a while there are topics come up and his name pops into my brain and I can tell a story about what he, and I've used it. I use the same stories all the time because what he said was so pertinent to the situation. And you know, the best thing he ever told us on the show was, by the middle of January, every part of your body hurts. And don't misunderstand that. And you play the rest of the season in pain. And I've never forgotten it. And I use, everybody says, well, you know, the guys are tired at this time of year. They, well, you know what? I'll tell you what. Alex Pietrangelo once told me. And by the way, I don't say, and well, Petro told me.
Petro. I'll use Petro every now and then.
I say Alex Pietrangelo. So.
I've never been around a player who talks more on the ice.
Like, really?
Always talking. Bench, on the ice, in every situation. It's a running commentary of the game. And it's very effective. Players love playing for him because they always know, and he's an unbelievable communicator. But I've in practice, same thing. He's always talking on the ice around the guys. One final break, and I want to come back with the great chase and what we've got going on that front with Alexander Ovechkin. It's 100% Hockey with John Shannon and Darren Millard. Why is my name ahead of your name on the graphic?
Alphabetical.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, completely.
You didn't want to just give me a little nod? And you're not just chalking it up to alphabetical?
No, I didn't want to give you any nod. There's no nods. We're not nods.
I was hoping it was like a sign of respect, like an homage. Like, way to go, kid.
Hold on. There's no homage. There's no homage. My goodness gracious.
Asked a couple of times, why is your name ahead of Shannon's?
Alphabetical.
I don't know.
Yeah, alphabetical. But I think by the way, the D is before the J and the M is before the S.
Oh, so I double it up.
So it made it easy to say, okay, put his name first. I just thought when we designed the graphic, I thought it would be silly that I would be gaudy enough to put my name first. You know, I always like being last in things like that because I think people notice them more. Like if, for instance,
there it is. There, that is the explanation right there.
For instance, I have a few pictures in here in the home office, and I always stand in pictures on the outside.
Really?
Yep. Always either on the left side or the outside, just because I think people notice who's on the fringes first, rather than who's in the middle.
All right. Well.
And I've always been accused of being on the fringes. So,
Simon and Garfunkel, who do people remember?
Well, I remember the hair.
Simon. How about Brooks and Dunn?
No, Garfunkel. Art Garfunkel.
Great, great country duo. Brooks and Dunn. I like my Kirk Brooks, but it's actually Ronnie Dunn that people, he's a lead singer. And I haven't proven anything.
Okay. No homage, There's no homage.
The great chase. Alexander Ovechkin racks up another goal. And he's back to being in the range of March to break Wayne Gretzky's record. And I thought it would be nip and tuck to get it in by the end of this season, especially after he missed the time with the broken leg. But it's a fabulous story right now. And he's going to get the entire Four Nations face-off time to – sit back.
Well, right. He's going to go ride camels in Dubai.
I don't care what he does, but he's not going to be his body.
Isn't that what he did the last time during the Olympic break in 2022? Didn't he and his family go to Dubai and ride camels? I think they did. And
did he?
Yeah, I think so. Somebody will find that out. I think they went on a nice extensive family vacation and went to either the Emirates or Dubai. And there's a great shot on social media of him riding a camel.
Has he upstaged himself? Almost in the sense of the storyline was incredible, but now what he's done has taken it up seven levels.
Well, that's a good question. But let me ask you the question. What's a better story in Washington right now? Ovechkin or the team as a whole?
The team is a surprising story.
Well, but
Ovechkin
is the
focus.
Yeah. I think what the Caps have done is amazing. And I think
nobody expected that.
No, and I give Ovechkin a ton of credit for it because he's bought into what Spencer Carberry's done. And I'm not avoiding the Ovechkin story because it's going to be a story between now and 8:95.
I mean, you're saving your commentary?
Well, no, we're just going to talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, we're 3 days, you know, we could probably do volumes on Ovechkin 3 days a week, you know. But what they have done with two players in particular, and not necessarily linked, but I give Brian McClellan originally a lot of credit and Chris Patrick, obviously now. Dylan Strom was on the scrap heap before he went to Washington. People were saying this guy's not a good player. You know, he's got to grow up. He's got to mature in Arizona, in Chicago. Dylan Strom has become the Dylan Strom we saw play in junior hockey.
Where he's top five draft pick.
A top five draft pick.
Ahead of Mitch Marner.
Yeah, that's another story. And Pierre-Luc Dubois has come and played so much better than he played at the end of his tenure in Winnipeg and certainly all of his time in Los Angeles. So for them to take two guys, identify their talent, work with their talent, and make them contributors to their success, I think I haven't heard anybody tell that story to say this is really what this team is about. And this is a true team. When you think about no Nick Backstrom anymore, no Kuznetsov anymore, this team has had a facelift on the fly and truly has been, it's an amazing story. Jacob Chychrun is playing the best hockey of his career in Washington.
I had that name written down. Yeah.
So that's why I asked the question about what's the bigger story, the Ovechkin 8:94-5 race or the Caps being what the Caps are now. It's phenomenal.
It's different in market than out of market?
Well, I think it's simple. I think it's simple for the I think the hardcore Washington Capitol fan, and there's a lot of them, I think that they're taking pride in what Ovi's done, but they're really, really, really invested in this club. And I think there's that percentage of people in DC that say, that Ovechkin, that's the only name I know. I'm thrilled that he's going to break Wayne's record. So I think there's a combination of things there, but I think if you talk to the season seat holder, the guy that, you know, owns tickets there, I think that they might have a mixed conclusion about what's a better story for them is how good the team is or how critical the Ovechkin Gretzky chase is.
I'm glad you mentioned Chris Patrick. Because a lot of people still think
Brian is. I know. Well,
Brian's
it's the same
the general
thing.
Manager.
Chris McFarland in Colorado, the same thing. But we know. We all know who does the heavy lifting in these teams, right? The guys that do the day-to-day stuff.
The guy that's name is first on the marquee.
The guy that's on the outside of the picture.
we should fly. Thanks for doing this today.
Tell you what, it was okay. Maybe we should do another one Monday. What do you think?
Are we the first podcast to launch on a Friday?
It's when you think about it, though, it's not a bad idea.
When I think about it, I thought, well, that's a little different.
Well, but there's nothing to talk about, so.
I like it because we get one and we find a rhythm and we're ready to go.
We're two white guys. We have no rhythm. Exactly. We have no rhythm. Okay. Don't even go there. Don't even go there. I just have the white man's overbite when I do it. That's all I know.
Thanks to Human Clarity for putting us together and for you for listening to 100% Hockey with Darren Millard and John Shannon.
No, it's not that. Yeah, that's you can't do that.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.